Hello and welcome back to Podcast from the Edge with me, Peter Bruce. The great thing about podcasting, and I know I'm not very good at it, is that it's quick. With my wonderful producer, Simi Arif, and a mic and stand I bought from Takealot 3 years ago, I can get this done and out there with almost no fuss. Of course, there's a lot of fuss in journalism when nothing's happening. That's when the news business gets hard. But this is South Africa, after all, and our story is so busy, you could almost eat it. 300 years of dreadful and racist colonial apartheid rule gets replaced by a real democracy and a fabulous constitution. And instead of getting on with the job of helping people out of poverty, the brave freedom fighters of yesterday have done journalists like me a huge favor and have behaved so poorly, by which I mean so badly, what was stealing and lying and fighting among themselves, that what was once a great and easy story to tell, the black versus white, the good versus evil of apartheid, has become even juicier. I once had an editor who judged stories based on how crunchy he thought they were, and the South African story today is really crunchy. This week, for instance, we woke up to the news painstakingly reported that President Cyril Ramaphosa's new Minister of Justice, Thembi Simelane, had somehow come into the possession of 575,000 rand looted from the by now famous VBS bank, which money she used to invest in all things in a coffee shop in Sandton, Joburg. She says so far that the money was a loan from a guy called Ralium Razavinani and that it was all above board. But there's no denying that he gave her the money. She doesn't deny it at all. She said it was a loan. But it clearly isn't above board. And whether she knew the money was stolen or not is immaterial. As far as I know, the possession of stolen goods is still a crime in South Africa. And if this minister is still in her job by the end of the week, we'll know for 100% sure that when the president says he's going to crack down on corruption and renew the ANC, that he just isn't a man of his word. He needs now to call her to his office, and unless she's able to supply the paperwork to support her contention that the payments she received from Razavinani were legal and regulated loans, he should dismiss her on the spot. That would send a message the country desperately needs to hear. Anything less would be, well, pretty much more of the same, yeah? All talk and no action. The story was broken by Kyle Cowan at News 24 and Paulie van Wyk at Daily Maverick. I know Cowan to be a meticulous reporter. I don't know van Wyk, but she's credited with exposing the ravenous looting at VBS in the first place. And what she and Cowan found is simply gobsmacking. Basically, VBS, so this is a former building society that paid money over, if you remember, to EFF leader Julius Malema and former deputy Floyd Shivambu, amongst many others, for them to invest in a restaurant in Soweto. VBS was looted by the simple mechanism of persuading ANC-controlled municipalities to deposit their funds with it. One of the biggest municipal investors in VBS was Polokwane, the old Pietersburg, now the capital of the province of Limpopo. It is the ANC heartland, is Limpopo, and in fact it's home to President Ramaphosa himself. The marketing of the bank as a safe investment house was done by what are called broker agents, who once the municipality had been persuaded to make a deposit, would either keep the money or kick back a percentage to friends and collaborators. The owners of the bank would then help themselves to the rest, buying themselves fancy cars and houses and helicopters. What a life. Zuma was the giggling president at the time, firmly captured himself by the Gupta family, and he would have thought nothing of what the bank was doing. In fact, when he came under pressure to pay for the work at Nkandla, it was VBS he turned to for a loan. Between 2014 and 2019, the current Minister of Justice was a mayor, and indeed she was the mayor of Polokwane. Her name then was Mkadimeng. It was her married name, and she's divorced now, but only in the past few months has she begun to use her maiden name, Simelane. While she was mayor of Polokwane, her municipality deposited a staggering 349 million rand, almost $20 million, with VBS. The broker agent for a lot of this money was Ralium Razavinani. He was paid generous commissions, or better, kickbacks, for securing the Polokwane business and from other municipalities, and he's on trial currently for fraud, corruption, and money laundering in the messy wake of the VBS collapse. Just before the Polokwane investments were made, Razavinani secured a contract with the municipality to provide it with investment broking services, and VBS ended up paying him around 1.7 million rand for the business he brought in from Polokwane. In all, he's reckoned to have earned, obviously, a very successful broker agent, He's reckoned to have earned more than $24 million in kickbacks from the bank's grateful owners. After one payment for a Polokwane deposit, Razvinani then paid, through his company Gundo Wealth Solutions, 300,000 rand into a little company called Ricovert Pty Limited, which owned a coffee shop called Silvana in Sandton. After another, he paid Ricovert stroke Silvana another 275,600 rand. The minister told the reporters who uncovered her links to the VBS money that Razvinani was her own financial advisor when she registered Silvana's Bistro in 2019. Although she told the reporters the loans to buy the coffee shop were completely above board and that they had now been repaid in full, by the time the report appeared this week, she failed to explain how Gundo/Razvinani had managed to give her a legal commercial loan in the first place, because neither he nor it are registered credit providers. Clearly, the Minister of Justice is in deep trouble now, and she made it even worse by telling Cowan and Van Wyk that she didn't think there was any conflict of interest between her being the South African Minister of Justice now and her receiving the loans from Razvinani then. And there's the rub. If she can't see it, how on earth is she Minister of Justice, perhaps of all things? Has she no judgment at all? The prosecutors investigating and prosecuting the VBS fallout report to her. She's also a member of the Cabinet Cluster on Justice and Crime Prevention, and so has close contact with the minister responsible for their investigative units. And when he appointed her, did Cyril Ramaphosa really know none of this? What vetting procedures, you wonder, are involved? Who actually does the vetting? The intelligence services report to the minister in the presidency, Kumbuzo Ntshavheni, who's also from Limpopo. What did they miss? Not as if Polokwane's investments in VBS while she was a mayor are a secret. We probably all know that feeling, the anxiety that never leaves you when you're hiding a dark secret. Children feel it, and so do adults. Simelane is about to face an ordeal she will have been running from for years, and it'll be painful and humiliating, the price of not caring enough about where the money comes from. Thousands of poor people lost their savings at VBS, and it's an absolute disgrace that anyone as close to the bank's collapse as she is should be a cabinet minister in the South African government, or indeed occupy any public office. Ramaphosa appointed her. Now he's going to need to act with a speed we seldom see from him in order to ensure that his young government of national unity remains clean, or at least relatively. He should remove her immediately, and if she asks for time to prove whatever excuse she may conjure up between now and when they finally meet, he should suspend her immediately. Anyway, that's it for today. Short and sweet, but ugly nonetheless, and we're trying to run a serious country here, I hope. Thanks so much then for listening to me, and I'll be back next week with another podcast from The Edge. Keep safe, and bye-bye.